You've been listening to Atlanta Falcons football on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with all the top players of today's game and more.
As we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It feels good to win 26-24. All their way to a victory.
Somehow, someway, of course, Rob Dribble coming to you live from the Nest on 4, the beautiful sports bar, is Insignia by Hilton. I'm not only the host of the Falcons Flyover, apparently I'm concierge as well, because we've had Jersey Mike and myself, we've had probably five or six people come up to us asking us where the bathroom is. So thankfully, you also know where the bathroom is. So double duty today, less the pay. Well, what can you say? This fan base feels a certain way about the Falcons, you know, especially the offense. You just see the comments online. You did not score a single offensive touchdown today. All your touchdowns came courtesy of big plays on special teams and a pick six by of course, that gifted young linebacker out of Montana State. Got hurt, though. 15 tackles today by Troy Anderson, as well as that pick six, but I think he aggravated his knee. Left the game early in the fourth quarter. We don't know what his status is going to be on Thursday night against a very good Tampa Bay team. Falcons got the ball first and were seemingly matriculating the ball down the field rather smoothly. And then a big first down grab nullified by a face mask penalty on Matthew Bergeron. That set up a second 25, killed the drive. Falcons had to punt it away. And Bradley Pinion, he's actually a gigantic, but you see he's like 6'4", 240 out of Clemson. Apparently put some special action, a knuckleball effect on the punt, and this is what happened.
And he's going to hang it high to the near side. Shahid will signal for the fair catch and fumble the ball. Scramble in the end zone. Atlanta's got it. Oh, my heavens. Kadarrell Hodge was down there. I don't know if he's the guy that fell on it or not.
Well, Shahid completely lost where he was on the field.
I think there's some special action on that punt as well. Punting has become an art now, too. You get all these European punters, and there's just a new way of doing it. And they manipulate the ball in a certain way to make it difficult to catch. And well, good for Cordarrelle Hodge. Cordarrelle Hodge, kind of an afterthought in the receiving core, making his presence known on our special teams. Saints get the ball back, and they answer on the ensuing drive. They go 9 plays, 70 yards, and that man again, Taysom Hill. The Saints are 10-4. In games where Taysom Hill plays for the Saints. Well, you can make it 10-5 now, but he makes his presence known to even things up.
Kamara through the formation. Hill going to keep it right side. He'll crash and score. Taysom Hill drives it into the end zone.
And that made it 7-7. And you have Taysom Hill scores yet again. It's amazing what he does against the Falcons. He's like this Swiss Army knife of a player. He's actually a great story. When he was playing college football at BYU, had two catastrophic knee injuries, came back from that, undrafted free agent, by the way, and he's just a little bit of everything, just a quintessential football player. You can't stand to see him on the field as a Falcon fan, but you certainly respect what he does, and he punches one in to get the Falcons behind 14-7, then yet another Young Hoku field goal, cuts the deficit to 10, and then Troy Anderson, what a story he's been. Out of Montana State, he was drafted for his freakish athletic ability, especially his size. What is he, 6'4", 240 pounds. Could not get on the field last year because he was injured for most of the year. You saw the raw athleticism. Now he has to learn the game cerebrally and from the shoulders up. But he makes a massive play for the Falcons in the second quarter.
Tight end, two receivers here to the left, and now Williams is going to check out to the boundary at the right. Carr going to try and make the quick throw, batted in the air, intercepted. Anderson's got it, 35-30, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown Atlanta. He beat Olave to the end zone.
And that's impressive in his size because Chris Olave out of Ohio State, very speedy wide receiver, Troy Anderson, shows that even at his size, he ran like a 4.4 at the combine, I think, or at least a 4.5. So the Falcons go into the locker room up by three. Then they extend that lead with a field goal by Young Wei Koo, a 44-yarder. At the beginning of the third quarter, go up 20-14. Then a field goal by Blake Groupe of the Saints makes it 20-17. Another field goal as well. And then the Saints did something kind of their final drive. As regulation was running out, they get the ball first to goal at the one. They just kind of do what they can to waste time, don't necessarily try to score. It might have been a wise move for the Falcons to just go ahead and let them score to save time on the clock. Well, they were able to finally punch it in and go up 26-24. And then the Falcons get the ball back, and some questionable play calling, you could certainly say. You know, you benefited from a 32-yard pass interference penalty, which got you the ball deep inside the Saints' territory. Then a couple of questionable, perhaps, calls by Zach Robinson, the Falcons' offense, maybe throw a little bit deeper than you should have, perhaps. That's Monday morning quarterbacking, though. And good for Young Wei Koo. Last year, you remember, he struggled mightily. I think he was starting to question his existence, thinking his life as a professional football player might have been just a shallow lie. But he gets his chance. His career long had been 56 yards. He sets up for the game winner at 58 yards. Young Wei Koo out of Georgia Southern. I wasn't feeling real confident about him making this kick. But so much for my level of confidence, it has nothing to do with what's going to transpire on the field. And here's your game winner.
Snap spot. Kick from Koo is away. And it is good! 58. And the money shot for Young Wei Koo.
Was that a pornographic reference by Wes Durham, I think, saying a money shot? Well, he makes, and the Falcons escape 26-24, but there is some trepidation and reservations about this offense, especially. You're starting to see this Falcons fan base starting to look longingly at Michael Penix, perhaps getting him in. I can't explain what's going wrong. It seems like every time you get something going, oh, by the way, a Bijan Robinson touchdown nullified by a holding penalty, which I don't think it was holding at all, and that was way behind the play and the point of attack, but that was nullified. Matthew Bergeron, that big face mask penalty, nullified potentially a touchdown drive. You had to settle for a field goal there as well. So there's a lot of questions surrounding this offense. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, don't question a victory in the NFL. Well, you can be happy about a victory and still question things going forward, because these are problems that can linger and can keep you out of the playoffs if this offense is not somehow figure out what to do. And I don't know how limited Kirk Cousins still is. He's looked somewhat better, certainly the last couple of weeks, absolutely. And as for his numbers today, 21-35, 238 yards, one interception, though. Tyler Allgeier, a lot of the fan base rushes. Why don't we see more of number 25? I have to agree with that. 8 carries, 60 yards. Drake London, a good afternoon. Six catches for 64 yards. So we're going to take your calls, 404-726-0929. This is a Falcons flyover. And we're coming to you from the Nest on 4, the Signia Hilton Hotel. Falcons get the victory 26-24, but a very good, very confident Tampa Bay Buccaneer team coming into town for a Thursday night tilt. Third primetime game for the Falcons this year. And the Buccaneers made quick work, easy work of the Eagles this afternoon, winning that game. Well, the Eagles only scored 16 points. It seems like that offense is going backwards. Bucs get the win 33-16. Baker Mayfield, a huge day, 30-47. 347 yards, two touchdowns. Buccaneers now 3-1. Eagles dropped to 2-2, and that's a restless fan base as well. So we will take your calls, 404-726-0929, 26-24 the final. And today was the 111th meeting between the Falcons and Saints. You want to talk about the epitome of what a rivalry is. How do you define a rivalry? Well, it's teams that play every year. There has to be a certain amount of vitriol and hatred between the fan bases and the teams. And it also has to be competitive. Like, you look at Georgia Tech, that's not really a rivalry. That's more of like a tradition, because Georgia's pretty much dominated that rivalry century. But coming into today, the Falcons have won 55. The Saints have won 55. Well, now the Falcons have the lead all time, 56-55. The last time the Saints actually had a lead in this rivalry was 1967, when they were leading their rivalry one game to none. That was the first time they ever played. And the Falcons put a great deal of distance between the Saints and as far as the all-time record goes. But I think that Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they just feasted on the Falcons. I think they were like 23-9 against the Falcons or something along those lines. But a win's a win, but there are some definitely some issues. And good for the Falcons making adjustments. I think the Saints rushed for over 100 yards in the first half. And up until midway through the third quarter, they had minus 3 yards in rushing. So I don't know what the Falcons did defensively. But it seemed it also helped that Taysom Hill is not in the lineup. They just seem to have no answer for him. They know exactly what he's going to do, and yet they still can't stop it. But somehow the Falcons made some adjustments defensively to kind of nullify the rushing attack by the Saints, because it seems like the beginning part of the game, the offensive line was blowing the Falcons off, and the Falcons were not able to get tackles at the point of attack. They were able to get to the second and third layer before finally being brought down to the ground. So things improved as far as that goes. And I got to tell you, for the most part today, this was a game of battered offensive lines. The Saints down a couple of starters. McCoy, their best offensive lineman out, and their yards per carry average had dropped to 3. First half today, though, looked very good. And Taysom Hill did not play last week, does play this week before he goes out with apparent abdominal injury. And the Falcons, as far say what you will about the offense today, but the offensive line seemed to do a pretty good job. Kirk Cousins was not under a whole lot of duress today, and you had some second stringers coming in there and playing pretty well. But I am Ryan Newhill, the left-handed center. I have never seen this called in my life, and we saw it called twice today. The center moving the ball before the snap. I thought all centers kind of move the ball a little bit, kind of get it up on the nose where they can snap it. And he got called for that twice, and the second one was nonsense because he did not move it at all. That was just a case of over-officiating, over-intellectualization of the game or something like that. I have never seen that called in my life. But also disturbingly, though, the Falcons get off the field. They force the Saints 4 and out. They clamp down on them late in the ball game. Falcons get the ball back with, 4 minutes and change left. And you're thinking, steady diet of Tyler Allgeier, maybe Bijan Robinson, run off the clock. But just a very poor series after that stop. The run game got stuffed. And a lot of people are thinking there should have been a pass interference call when Pitts. He was tripped up and no pass interference was called. But I think that was just incidental contact. You're not going to get that call. So as a result, the Falcons had to punt it away. Saints drive down, take a brief lead. Falcons with no timeouts left, and credit to Kirk Cousins for that. Is whatever reservations this fan base has about him, at least he was able to get them in field goal position, thanks in part to the Saints and that 32-yard pass interference penalty. But there are some trepidations, certainly. Let's go out to your we're going to come back and take your calls at 404-726-0929. This is the Falcons flyover. Again, you need to come check this place out. Signia by Hilton, Nest on 4, just a gorgeous sports bar, upscale Italian restaurant downstairs, pretty much anything you'll ever need. But we're going to come back and take your calls. And I know this fan base is feeling a little bit restless in a lot of ways, but, hey, you're 2-2. You're 2-2. Saints have lost 2 in a row. You haven't lost 2 in a row. So you did get the victory today. And, again, we're going to come back and take your calls. This is the Falcons flyover. I'm Rob Tribble. Live the Signia Hilton, the Nest on 4, Sports Radio, 92.9 Game.
Win on 3, 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover. Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports bar. The outside area is just amazing, just mere steps from my Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and all the tailgaters are out there still just raising all sorts of hell, and that's because the Falcons come away with a victory today, 26-24. But this fan base is feeling uneasy about this offense. No offensive touchdowns today. You had big plays on special teams, and a pick six was pretty much the only time you got in the end zone today. Everything else was Younghoe Koo field goal, so that's a problem as well. And Troy Anderson, we don't know what the status of his knee injury is. And that'd be a terrible thing because great day for him today. What, 15 tackles, had the pick six, that 47-yard interception return for the touchdown, which gave the Falcons the lead. And the Saints, of course, score late. Falcons get the ball back, and maybe some questionable play calls, and that set up a difficult situation for Young Wei Koo, a 58-yarder. He'd never tried one of those before. His former career long had been 56, but he makes the 58-yarder with room to spare. Might have been good from 61. Falcons escape 26-24 over the hated rival. Now they lead the all-time series 56-55. That's how close this whole thing has been over the years. Total yards today, 366 for the Saints, 315 for the Falcons, 227 passing yards for Kirk Cousins, 235 for Derek Carr. Rushing yards, 131 for the Saints, but I think 110 of that came in the first half. Falcons managed just 88 yards. Yards per play, 6.2 for the Falcons, 5.2 for the Saints, but you get the victory. And I want to hear what you think at 404-726-0929. Yes, feel good about a victory, but this offense has to get going or it could be a very difficult year and tough sledding, especially with a very good Tampa Bay team coming in on Thursday night. And they get a big win over the Eagles today, 33-16, to move to 3-1 on the year. 347 passing yards for Baker Mayfield, two touchdowns. And the Bucs are feeling really good about themselves nonetheless. All right, let's go down to McDonough and Thomas. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the Falcons Flyover. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was at the game, and it could have gone either way, and we pulled it out, but like you said, questionable play call. I don't understand why we didn't pound the ball more, you know what I mean? Like we did last week, it was a nice combination of passing, running, and then the last 45 seconds, we're trying to get the ball downfield in the air when we could have been just pounding the ball, you know what I mean? And I mean, we were just going ballistic in the stadium. You know, we were like, what are you guys doing? It could have been intercepted, bad passing. And first of all, you know, when you're sitting there trying to pass, protect, that takes a lot of energy from our line. You know, we did it three consecutive times, or we could have interjected a run in there. We've got three fantastic runners. We've got to pound the ball. And blessings to Koo. I mean, he's our saving grace. And I enjoyed the game, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, Thomas, I appreciate it. Well, that final drive, though, after the Falcons stopped the Saints on fourth down with about a little over 4 minutes left, you thought, pound the ball. But to the Saints' credit, they stuffed the run on that particular drive, and that set up a punt, and the Saints drive it in for the go-ahead score. But the Falcons, luckily, had just enough left in them and get a fortunate 32-yard pass interference penalty. But that was a blatant call. I mean, that was a blatant infraction, which should have been called, so... And Young Wei Koo makes the 58-yarder to help the Falcons go to 2-2 on the season. All right, let's go out to T-Bone. T-Bone, welcome. What's on your mind?
What's going on, bud? Hey, man, look, good solid win for the Falcons today. Who gets the game ball all day long, no doubt. We need to see a little bit more offense, no doubt. And I'm tired of these turnovers. Like, we got to get that solidified and get it back running up. So, and while we're at it, not only talking about Falcons, go Braves today. I know we lost, but we got a doubleheader tomorrow. And the Dogs, speaking of running the ball, get back on the Dogs, man. Look, we got to run the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. Come on. We can't give it back to Alabama. That's all I got to say. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. That was an unbelievable game. I wonder how many people turned off the Georgia-Alabama game when it was 30-7 at halftime. Luckily, I didn't because I just know how crazy college football can be. And these teams, Georgia and Alabama, might meet two more times before all is said and done, certainly. But Georgia does not get the win yesterday. And Kirby Smart has some ridiculous record, too. But Kalen DeBoer, by the way, since we're going to delve into just a little college football, he is 109-12 as a head coach. Kalen DeBoer is 6-0 against Kirby Smart, Steve Sarkisian, and Dan Lanning. And since 2017, Kirby Smart is 88-6, 1-6 against Alabama. So there you go as far as that goes. But Falcons get the win today, 26-24, as the Buccaneers come in town. What is that, about an 8:15 kickoff on Thursday night? Third home game in a row, too, by the way. All right, let's go out to who we got here. We got Victor in Atlanta. Hello, Victor.
Hello, man. How you doing? I just wanted to say, man, those timing routes, if your receiver falls down, I mean, don't throw the ball. But one of the callers said you want to run and pound the ball. Well, there's a minute left and you don't have any timeout. How are you supposed to do that? Makes no sense to me. But also, Kirk Cousins has got to be better with throwing the football. I mean, hey, that's all it is. I mean, last year we were supposed to win more games because we didn't have a quarterback. Now we got a quarterback in the same problem we've had for the past 6 years. So that's all I got to say, and I appreciate y'all.
All right, appreciate it. That interception, that was a pass intended for Ra-Ra McCloud. He fell. And that's Kirk Cousins throwing to a spot. I don't know if he had time. Clearly, it didn't look like he may have had enough time to react to the fact that McCloud slipped and fell. So he couldn't have just tucked the ball. He was about to follow through when McCloud went down, because he went down about 3 yards from where the ball was destined to land. And as a result of him slipping, that was an interception. I don't know if that's an adjustment Kirk Cousins should have made on the fly. But, you know, the turnovers are a concern, but at least you had a pick six in your favor today, though. So 404-726-0929 is the Falcons flyover at the Signia Hilton Neston Four beautiful sports bar here right next door to our Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And we're taking your calls right now, kind of basking in the glory, but with some trepidation and concerns about this Falcons offense. No offensive touchdowns today. The only time he got in the end zone, courtesy of a botched fair catch, and then a pick six by Troy Anderson. Let's go to, who are we going to, Joe in East Atlanta? Hello, Joe.
What's going on, Rob? How you doing today, brother?
Good, brother. What you got?
Hey, man. Was at the game today, and, you know, the offense does cause me a little bit of concern, but we couldn't stop their offense a lot of the time. I mean, third down, Kamara killed us. Both of their receivers killed us. It's like we couldn't cover. Like, we were playing so soft. They were getting open, and Carr was picking us apart.
All right, is that all you got, Joe? All right, appreciate you, Joe. I do say in the first half, the D-line did look a little soft. And you're not doing well at the point of attack, breaking tackles as far as that goes. But things tightened up in the second half. Like I said, the Saints had about 30 yards rushing total in the second half, minus 3 yards up until the fourth quarter. Then they got their 30 yards on their last few drives. But in the first half, the Saints rushed for about 109 yards. So they kind of cleaned it up a little bit in the second half. You did just enough to win, but I'm more concerned about this offense than anything else. And credit to the offensive line. You had a couple of injuries today, certainly. But somehow they were able to protect Kirk Cousins pretty well, but you couldn't get in the end zone offensively. They did protect. They did a pretty good job of protecting him, certainly. 404-726-0929. Go back out to the phones. Let's go to Hunter. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, what's going on, man? I just I wanted to call just to share, I guess, a little bit of what I thought about the game. Defensively, man, I think we got to be proud of our defense. I mean, if, as a Falcons fan, you got to remember it wasn't that long ago we couldn't make a stop to save our lives. So proud of the defense there. I think from an offensive perspective, man, we're still missing a dynamic, explosive playmaker outside. I mean, Drake is great, but, man, Drake was drafted to be a big physical, you know, pass catcher, you know, get in the end zone. But he's not stretching the field. Kyle Pitts is not stretching the field. And I think that that's really hurting our rushing game. That's why we're seeing so many screen passes. We're seeing so many, you know, flick the ball here, flick the ball there. We really just don't have a dynamic, explosive playmaker outside. That's all I got.
I appreciate you. Well, you could say Ray McCrell, Darnell Mooney, or perhaps those guys. You had Drake London drafted to be a more physical receiver. Kyle Pitts, though, are we starting to incorporate the word bust as far as that goes? He seems to be completely invisible in this offense. What, he had a 50-yard reception last week. And he's got one touchdown this year, but he has not been anything resembling what he was as a rookie when Matt Ryan was throwing him the ball. And he actually was a Pro Bowler as a rookie with over 1,000 yards in receiving. But he hasn't been the same since. I don't know what the issue is. I'm sure he's healthy. I don't know what it is now. Lack of interest? I don't know. But this fan base is certainly not real pleased with him. And he's a fourth rounder. And another thing, John Fricker, our own John Fricky, tweeted out something interesting today. All this draft capital on skill position players and how many millions of dollars on this quarterback, and you're having trouble getting in the end zone. And that's a legitimate concern. Yes, you never complain too much about a win, but there are some emerging narratives with this team offensively that you hope they can just clean it up? Is this all a matter of cultivating chemistry, Kirk Cousins and the receivers and everyone else involved? Is that what it is? Because nobody played in the preseason, and you are 2-2. And as a Falcons fan, this was a daunting stretch of a schedule. You open with the Steelers, you lose, you look terrible in that game. You get a magnificent victory in Philadelphia on Monday night. Kirk Cousins leads you down the field, last-second drive, game-winning drive. He has about 29 of those in his career, by the way. And then last week against the Chiefs, you lose a very winnable game. And today you basically win a very losable game. That's just what the NFL is week in and week out. And right now you're 2-2, and as a Falcon fan, you got to be happy about that, but still a lot of concerns about this offense. Hopefully they can get better. They're going to have to with Tampa Bay coming in. Tampa Bay is just clicking on all cylinders, too. Of course, they had a bit of a stinker last week losing to Denver, but they are 3-1 on the year, and they beat the Eagles today 33-16. Are the Eagles heading in the wrong direction? Of course, the Eagles did beat the Saints last week and held them to just 12 points. So NFL's a funny thing. It's a week-to-week proposition. You can look like world beaters one week, and then the following week you can look like you need to take a football 101 course, at least remedial football. That's just the nature of the game. All right, let's go to Tone in Atlanta. Hello, Tone. What you got? Is Tone with us?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I got a few things. I want to start off with the defense. The defense did well today. They bend, but they didn't break. You feel me? And things about, like, I just heard another caller saying, like, because we've been falling apart. The defense always been okay. We just have never had an elite pass rusher. But the defense always been okay besides the running quarterback. We've been all right besides that. But my next point, our offense, we ride and die with Kirk Cousins. I don't know. I want to stay positive here. So, Kirk has to show what he showed in Minnesota. Like, right now he's showing that he's either washed or he don't have it. I don't know. He don't have it anymore. But everybody's talking about elite pass rusher. That's what we're talking about all summer. We got one, but now he can't ascend a play. So once he processes whatever or it breaks down, he's done. So I just wanted to say them few things. I'm happy that we did get the win, though. Thanks to Coop. You feel me? Thanks to Coop.
All right, man. All right, Tony. We appreciate you, man. 404-726-0929. 26-24 the final. Falcons improved to 2-2. Saints fall to 2-2. Saints have lost 2 in a row in the first 2 weeks of the season. The Saints were averaging 40 points a game, and they just look like they were an offensive juggernaut, and now they've kind of fallen back to the pack. And right now, the cream of the crop in the NFC South is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will be here on Thursday night, and we'll see what happens. All right, let's go out to let's go down to Riverdale and Alexander. Hello, Alexander. What's on your mind?
What's up, Rob? First, I'm just happy the sweep didn't happen this weekend, man. Oh, my, I was so ready for the door to sweep. And you know what that is, how it is on Monday when all three teams lose, so I'm happy about that.
Right.
I know a lot of people were talking about Kirk. Kirk made some really good throws, man. And when you really think about, like, one of the throws he made to Mooney on the pass interference, that was a dime dropper. Now, don't get me wrong, he made a couple – made a couple throws that were okay, but at the end of the day, we got the win. Our defense did win. Troy Anderson, I've been waiting for that 2 years, man. He stood up, and he really stood with Kamara, even though in the second half, he kind of let that running game get started. Overall, Raheem Morris needed that victory. And not only that, I think we got to start Algier in the beginning. Algier is a little more patient. He doesn't have the explosiveness. But you can tell that the offensive line is more in sync when he runs the ball because he's a little more patient. He'll hit the hole a little bit later and be able to accelerate. Bijan is really good. You got to use packages for him. But to be as talented as he is, he hasn't came on and just said, okay, he's that guy. And for everyone that's going at Kurt, hey, man, when Kyle Pitts isn't getting off the line, when he gets beat through the ball on stop route, when Drake is good, but when he really can't stretch the field, You're getting what I need from Kirk Cousins. He controlled the line. He drove that team down. And at the end of the day, cool, man, you hit a 58-yarder. I give him all the props in the world. That was a good win. We got to come back next week, and hopefully we'll be able to close.
All right, appreciate you, man. All right, who we got next? We got Donald down in Jonesboro. Hello, Donald.
Donald. Hey, how you doing? I like how Kirk Cousins play too. If this team do not if this team fail, it's going to be because of Morris and his play caller. Every time the Falcons have a weakness, and especially that weakness linger, it always be the brain of the team. You know, it's to me, either we got receivers and Kyle Pitts also is guys who just cannot separate, or we just got somebody who just can't call plays. I don't like those plays. To me, you got some 1975 Steve Buckley to play. They need to be more creative. And I think this is going to be a problem right here. This is definitely going to be a problem, because if the Saints and the other teams in our division can drive the ball down the field, we're not even close to being the best team in this division. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, appreciate you. Who else we got here? We got a few more minutes. We're going to take a few more calls. Let's go to Eric in Atlanta. Hello, Eric. What's up?
I just wanted to call and I just don't want anyone else. Please don't call in and be like, we need to get Cal Pitts the ball. Please, on the morning show, on the afternoon show, guys, Mike Chuck. No, Cal Pitts is a lazy route runner. He's not a very good route runner, first of all. But then on top of that, he's a lazy route runner. I want people to go on YouTube around Tuesday or Wednesday when they're all 22 available and watch Cal Pitts. He has no appetite to run a crisp route. He doesn't bust it off the line at all. So stop saying we need to get Kyle Pitts the ball. He's a horrible route runner, which most of the league is. Nobody is McCunkey when they're running routes. But Kyle Pitts is a lazy route runner on being a horrible route runner. He doesn't bust it off the line at all. It's like he's running a route doing a circle instead of sticking his foot in the ground and, you know, showing his hand. That's just it. He's a horrible route runner. And Kirk Cousins is an on-time quarterback. And that's just fact.
All right, man, I appreciate your call. Again, 26-24 the final. Falcons improved to 2-2 through hook or crook. No offensive touchdowns today. 4 Younghoe Koo field goals. Big play on special teams due to a botched fair catch attempt by Rasheed Talib. And Porter Al-Hodge jumps on in the end zone to give the Falcons an early lead. Then, of course, you also have the big pick six as well. We don't know the health, though, of Troy Anderson, the Falcons' linebacker. And, you know, everybody's been kind of waiting on this from him. 15 tackles today, gets the pick six. And, you know, gifted athlete, especially for his size, at like 6'3", 240, ran a 4.5, I believe, out of Montana State. And I think he started out as a quarterback there. But he did not play basically the entire year last year, and that was his second year in the league. And that really kind of set back his development. And the physical tools were always there. Now he's having to learn the intellectual aspects and the schematics of football, and it seems like he's coming along, but I hope the knee injury is not very serious as far as that goes. Let's get to a couple of calls before we go to break. Coming up in the next segment, David Archer talked to the hero today, Younghoe Koo, and, of course, Raheem Morris, and I imagine Kirk Cousins as well. Who else we got here? We got Todd in Covington. Hello, Todd. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Any good day? Any day is good when you beat the Saints, but right. Our defense, obviously they get the credit for the win. If you think back to how the season's shaping up for them, they're holding every team under the league minimum, today being 24 points, but everybody else has been under that, including the Super Bowl champs. I think the concern for our defense is we still can't seem to get quarterbacks on the ground. Obviously, we've had a challenge with that over the last, decade. But then, more importantly, you know, for this team to keep going further, we've got to be able to put touchdowns on the board. We're blessed to have Younghoe Koo, but we just can't seem to get out of our own way and actually put touchdowns on the board. However that happens, whether it's through their air, through the on the ground with the run, somehow, some way, we've got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot and be able to put 6 on the board instead of 3.
All right, I appreciate it. But you got to look, though, at least recent history, this is a game the Falcons traditionally lost. And I had that sinking feeling late in the game today when the Saints did score that touchdown about a minute left in the game when Kamara punched it in from 1 yard out to give the Saints a 24-23 victory. But no, Falcons actually won. Perhaps this is a different era of Falcons football, and not terrible going 2-2 with the the difficulties of this early schedule. Thursday night's not going to be easy because Tampa Bay has firmly established their identity. Baker Mayfield is playing out of his mind as they jumped all over the Eagles today, 33-16, to improve to a 3-1 on the year. Let's go out to Special K. What's going on, Special K?
My man, Rob, what's going on?
What's happening?
I'm just going to tell you. Yeah, you just said it, a different era. No, it's the same. Falcons struggle. Let us sit on the end of our seats to watch a win or a loss. And I'm just going to tell you, I told you, you know, the first game of the season, 0-5. Well, wonderful way, young and cool, we might be 0-5 right now.
And, could be, that's true.
I mean, really and truly, we could be 0-5 right now. I mean, they got to figure out how to score touchdowns.
Especially, what was the beverage of choice this afternoon when you're watching the game?
Let's see. Today was terrapin.
Terrapin. Okay, the terrapin.
Yeah.
The craft beer.
Terrapin.
Okay, man.
Yeah. Look, after the loss last night, I mean, I'm a dog. So yep. After the loss last night, I mean, that was bad enough, you know. And I saw what I saw last night. And what I was seeing today was almost the same as what I was seeing last night. It's like, are y'all on the same? I mean, are y'all on conference call or something? I mean, for real.
No. All right, man. I appreciate your call, brother. What time did Special K start drinking? About? Did he stop even after the Georgia-Alabama game? You just carried all the way through. Was he pouring that terrapin pale ale on his cereal this morning? We're going to come back and take your calls, and David Archer caught up with all the main attractions from this afternoon's 26-24 Falcons victory to improve to 2-2. A winning day, a win's a good thing, but there are some things to clean up for this team and some concerns, but a lot easier to address them when you're coming off a victory. It's Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 99 again.
Now more of the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game, as we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Falcons Flyover. Hanging out the Signia by Hilton. Beautiful, lovely property adjacent to a Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Nest on Four is the name of the sports bar. Very upscale, just lovely. The food is amazing. The service is amazing. Service is a dying breed until you come here to the Signia by Hilton. All your 4 o'clock games still going on for the most part. 49ers comfortably ahead of the Patriots, 30-13, about just under 5 minutes left to go on that one. Chiefs and Chargers locked into a tight one out there at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. 10-10 right now, 7 minutes, 17 seconds to go there. Raiders on top of the Browns, 20-16. Oh, don't the Browns miss Baker Mayfield now. 5 minutes to go in that game. Commanders get a win over the Cardinals today, 42-14. Buccaneers coming into town on Thursday. They're now 3-1, 33-16 the final today. Baker Mayfield, 347 yards, 2 touchdowns. Buccaneers are just clicking on all cylinders. Colts get a win over the Steelers. Steelers finally lose today, 27-24. Rams fall to the Bears, 24-18. Vikings now 4-0. They're not missing Kirk Cousins at all. They beat the Packers 31-29. Broncos over the Jets 10-9. That looks like that game might have set football back 55 years. Jaguars now 0-4, 24-20. They fall out there in Houston to the Texans. And they're starting to wonder why they gave Trevor Lawrence all that money. Bengals finally get a victory to improve to 1-3, 34-24 over the Panthers. Cowboys, of course, on Thursday night got the win over the Giants, 20-15. Of course, Falcons today, 26-24 over the Saints. And tonight, a good one up in Baltimore. We got the Bills taking on the Ravens. That's going to be an 8:20 kickoff. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And there's two Monday night games tomorrow, again, oddly enough, starting 45 minutes apart. You know, I guess some people would like to see both of these games, but Titans are visiting the Dolphins, 7:30 kickoff. Lions hosting the Seahawks have been surprisingly good so far as well. Lions, Seahawks, they get going at 8:15. So 26-24 the final today. Younghoe Koo, a career-long 58-yard field goal. And as usual, this game, games with the Saints always seem to come down to the last possible second, and it just gives you agita. David Archer, former Falcons quarterback and our radio analyst for Falcons broadcast, caught up with the victorious head coach, Raheem Morris, after today's victory.
Raheem, you talk about team wins. You talk about a group of three phases of the game coming together and believing and winning. Boy, I don't know if you can find one that's got a better definition than that.
I tell you what, it was more than just three today. That crew out there, the fan base, the way that place was rocking, that was definitely a part of it, and they definitely the fourth phase today. And I couldn't be more thankful for those guys coming out and showing that kind of support. And the team, man, they put it all together. They relied on each other. They played complimentary football. What a day. What a day.
Tell me about entities that you don't expect to score in. You want to. You play hard. If you're in position, you make the play. Kadarius Hodge ends up with the recovery on the punt team. The coverage. Talk about that unit.
You know, Marquise, you know, you say it's an entity that you don't expect to score in, but that's one of his main goals. That's what he wants to do, mean but clean. And those guys went out there, and they were exemplary tonight. All right, to the last whistle, right till we ended it with Koo. They scored a couple points today for us, and you need that. You need that. When you're struggling a little bit on offense or you're struggling a little bit on defense, you need somebody to pick you up, and special teams did.
I know they got a little bit of footing in the run game, and I know you're going to continue to work on that, but Troy Anderson was a monster today. Had one of his best games as an NFL player. 16 tackles, had the interception return for a touchdown.
Absolutely outstanding. Down the stretch is what's most important, and those guys bowled up when it counted the most at the end, and they were able to go some critical stops for us. They got too much rushing yards in the first half, but, man, they put it behind them. They came out. They bowled out. We got a couple major stops there, and we were doing well.
You talk about bowing up now. That offensive line really bowed up in the second half. Bijan ran the ball extremely well. But when Tyler Allgeier came in the game, it was like a different tempo you guys are playing with.
You know, he's the fat back that we call him, and he was able to go out there and get us some yards, man. He runs the ball hard as you can run, and he was the hot guy today, and he got out there and got it done for us.
All right, what do you say about your guy, Younghoe Koo? Did you have a number in mind as to where the ball needed to get to for him to be able to knock it through?
It didn't matter. We were going to end it with Koo. No matter where we were, it didn't matter. And then Koo went out there and delivered just like I thought he would. That thing was good for a lot further than what he kicked it for the 56.
All right, last thing for you, Raheem. A quick turnaround now. You got another divisional opponent coming in here in just a few days. How big one was this, and how much do you have to quickly flush it out of your mind?
You know, you quickly go through the process. The same thing as every week. You know, wins, losses, whatever the case may be. You got to put it back on the shelf and go right into the lab and get ready for a tough Tampa team coming in.
Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Younghoe Koo kicking the game-winning 58-yarder. You remember back when we had Matt Bryant? Matt Bryant was just money in the bank. Anything from 55 yards in, when he set up to kick a field goal, you were so comfortable, you'd just get up, go to the bathroom, or go grab you another beer. Younghoe Koo was the same way for several years, and last year struggled a little bit. And he definitely had a case of the yips in many cases. He was struggling from within 50 yards last year, missed a couple of those. But he has been absolutely perfect so far this year. Hits the game winner, and David Archer caught up with the kicker out of Georgia Southern.
Now with our Solomon Brothers player of the game, Younghoe Koo, and why not? Younghoe knocks one through from 58 yards to win the football game. Was there a? Did you have in your mind where you needed to be? I know most kickers have an idea where their spot is.
Yeah, we talk about those situations, and when we say gotta have it, I say 45. Get to the 45, and we'll see what you know what we can do.
So the 45-yard line, which would be a 63-yarder for you, so you had a lot. And based on the way it went through the uprights, you had a lot more in the tank.
Yeah, once we got to that 40, I was like, all right, it's go time. So just getting my mind right and, you know, ready to kick it through.
Well, you knocked it through big time. Tell me about the way this team played on special teams, Younghoe. You got the touchdown early on in the game from Kadarius Hodge, the fumble, the muff punt. Just the pride that goes on in the third phase of the game that a lot of times gets overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it. You know, it does take everybody to win in this league. It is hard to win. So, you know, when we got to make plays, we got to make it count because special teams, we don't know how many plays are guaranteed. There's a kickoff that's guaranteed, but everything else other than that, we might not get any. So when we go out on the field, we try to make the best of that opportunity.
All right, so I got to let you try to put us in. I don't know if we can actually get there mentally, but how take us into the mind of Younghoe Koo now, getting ready to go win the football game. What are you doing on the sidelines? What are you thinking about as you get ready to go do it?
It's just same as every other field goal. We've been in that situation before, 2-minute drives, you know, whether that's a touchdown or field goal coming up, just getting my mind right about the preparation that I've done throughout the week and just trusting that, and just getting my feel right at the net and getting some good contact on the ball, and then get to the third down, start going towards the spot.
Liam and Bradley did a great job for you, getting that all set up for you. Tell me about now this short week, Youngway. You've been here for a while now, that you've played in these games where you get the short week, got a divisional opponent coming in here. They won today. You win today. So tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a lot better when you win, you know, on a Sunday and a Thursday night coming up. It is a quick turnaround, but I want to go back to Liam and Bradley. They've been money all season and last 2 years. Without those guys, you know, that kick doesn't go in. So I just wanted to recognize that for sure. And this short week, you know, I look at it as Thursday, Sunday, then tomorrow is already Thursday, you know, or Wednesday is it. So just getting the recovery body right and just, you know, getting ready to go.
Solomon Brothers player of the game from 58 yards. It's Youngway Koo. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Interesting note as far as the Saints defense. Coming into today, they were second in the NFL in interceptions with 5, second in forced fumbles with 4, fifth in sacks with 11, and fifth in points per game, just giving up 14.7. And there's also another stat that kind of stands out as well that did not have any effect on today as far as this comparison goes. Sacks plus takeaways, the Saints were averaging 6 for the first 3 weeks of the season. Falcons less than 2 sacks plus takeaways. 1 sack for the Falcons today, and that was courtesy of defensive back D. Offord, and he caught up, or Dave Archer caught up with him after the game today.
D, another strong game by you guys in the back end, and this was going to be a real test. They had a lot of great speed and a lot of things that were going to contest against you guys. But tell me about the overall defensive play and how you guys felt like you got done.
Oh, man, just going into this game, the mindset, you know, to be physical, man, and play fast and obviously play free. So we was able to go out, you know, fly around. We got a lot of DBs who like, you know, get their head ends on tackles, stuff like that. So that's just the overall motto, just play fast, play free and physical, man. I think we did a great job of that in the back end.
I had some notes written down for the game, talked to Raheem about, and certainly tomorrow for his coach's show, but I was talking to him about the little guys making plays. Mm-hmm. And the little guys had a series there. You had A.J. came up, made the big hit along the sideline. Mm-hmm. You came on the blitz on that offside and got Carr on the ground. And, of course, Mike Hughes made a play, big play as well. Tell me about the pride you guys have. You guys aren't the biggest dudes in the world, but playing physical.
Man, just playing big. Like, that's the whole thing, just playing bigger than what you are, man. You know, like you said, we're a little smaller guys, but just the mindset that we have, man, we play big, and it show on the game. So, yeah, like you said, on that play, I was able to, you know, make a move and get in on the tackle, man. Little things like that, I try to, you know, separate myself from, you know, a lot of other smaller guys in the league. But, yeah, man, those, you know, all the DB group we got, man, we pretty physical, and it feel good to be able to show it on Sunday. So
Jimmy doesn't dial up a lot of blitzes for you guys, but mm-hmm. you guys have been pretty successful when you come. Tell me about the technique there in the nickel spot, trying to disguise it so Carr can't see it so he can mm-hmm. throw a side adjustment. Talk me through that.
I think I made an adjustment early on in the game. I know, you know, a lot of guys watch film around the league. They'll see that I play off a lot, so I try to switch it up so you never know if I'm pressing, am I blitzing, or I'm pressing to play man. So I try to, you know, add that to my bag and, like, switch it up. And I was able to disguise it, don't show the blitz, and he didn't look my way. I came free, so I made a play.
Yeah, you made mm-hmm. that play, and you also made a play in the back corner of the end zone in that fourth down play. Tell me about that play.
Oh, man, that was a gotta-have-it situation. We was, you know, zero man, so it's one-on-one. You got to win your matchup. I was able, you know, pre-snap, I was talking to Mike Hughes. I noticed the split was wide, so I knew my guy was going to run the corner and his guy was going to run the post. At first, I wanted to work it out and pass it off to him, but we kind of, like, said, nah, man, just lock it. And I knew it was coming, so I was anticipating the corner route and I'm able, you know, to get the right angle and make a play on the ball.
See, there's that communication on the field. That's what you're talking about. You guys talking to each other in the back end. All right, last thing for you. Quick week now. Mm-hmm. You got another divisional opponent coming in on Thursday. Mm-hmm. What does the mindset have to be when you come to work tomorrow?
Oh, man, we already in recovery mode right now. So we got guys iced up. Whatever you got to do, we are in the mindset to, you know, get ahead of the short week so we can come out, you know, come back in here in front of the fans and, you know, get that dub. So
D off, we're just making plays. Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Again, Falcons win it 26-24. Reservations about this offense. You see the comments online, especially on the Falcoholic. A lot of people are just pretty much fed up and done with Kyle Pitts. Lazy and soft, no work ethic, all the things. And, well, he hasn't done anything to dispute that notion. That seems to be a common observation among the fan base. In that soft zone on defense where you're playing 20 yards off the receiver late in the ball game and they're able to get chunk yards to get closer and closer to goal line and then ultimately have a first and goal and punch it in for the leading score. But luckily the Falcons did just enough to get the victory today. Kirk Cousins, Falcons quarterback David Archer, caught up with him after today's victory.
Kirk, you and I had a chance to talk during the week getting ready for this game that divisional games, there's just something a little bit different about them. You played in a bunch of them when you're in Washington and in Minnesota. Now you're a part of this rivalry. Your first thoughts of the way this went down?
I love the energy in the stadium. I love our fan base. I love the nest. We were backed up at a series in the fourth quarter, and during the TV timeout, the stadium was just rocking, and I kind of just took it in for a second and just appreciated the atmosphere that was there. So it was a great, great day and a great chance to win and really give our fans something to be excited about.
Can you describe the energy that all three phases were kind of feeding off one another? You got the turnover early for this touchdown, then Troy makes his play.
Yeah, you know, a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown, huge, huge blessings to our offense to get that help. And then Koo's kick at the end was a huge special teams lift for us. It was complimentary football all game long, and that's how you win in this league. And I kind of have this like bittersweet feeling right now. You love to win, and that trumps everything. But certainly felt like offensively could have played a little better.
Really good defensive unit you faced today. So it was a kind of punch counterpunch. It felt like didn't get a run game going early. Looked like you were operating really well in the pass game. Then all of a sudden the run game started to click for you a little bit.
Yeah, I thought Tyler ran the football really well today, and not only ran it well, but I thought after the catch too, made a huge third down conversion. We moved the football, and then drives would stall kind of in the high red zone area for whatever reason, penalties or just not converting third downs. And so kicked a lot of field goals today. And then the penalties were tough for us at times. They really hurt us in some drives and took away a touchdown. And we left a little bit out there.
It's cool to see the ongoing chemistry that continues to build. You and Darnell Mooney, and Drake London, you got those two in particular. Ray made a couple of really nice plays for you. The one where you got out of the pocket and he laid out to make a play. Tell me about that.
It was a great play by Ray. You know, I agree that I have to continue to learn from each game to anticipate better to these receivers. I thought one of our first third downs of the game was a third and long. Drake, it was tight coverage when I let the ball go, but I just feel like, you know what, at his size, with his strong hands, I got to throw that football, and he's got to go get it, and that's how it's got to get done, and it was. And I thought, okay, that's the things where we're learning, and I'm trusting him, and he proved me right. And so there's still others, though, that you look back and you say, you know what, I got to anticipate differently or better or whatever it may be. And that's the stuff we'll have to talk about coming out of this one.
Leadership always has to be a part of things, but maybe even more so in a week like you've got coming up with a short week, another divisional opponent. Tell me about that.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for us after the hole we've dug ourselves starting 1-2 to be able to play two NFC South opponents and on Thursday night have a chance to get back above 500, at home, primetime game. It's a short week, but we can benefit from that. We can get a lot done in the walkthroughs and the jogthroughs, and we got a chance to really take a step forward here in our season on Thursday night, and our preparation the next few days needs to reflect that.
Congratulations on the W.
All right, thanks, Arch.
I like what Kirk Cousins has to say. I think physically he can still do it. One of the callers said maybe he's just completely lost it. No, he hasn't. He absolutely is very self-aware of what the limitations are. You're still trying to cultivate chemistry. You did not play in the preseason. You looked absolutely just horrible and pathetic against the Steelers week one. Very good that game-winning drive against Philadelphia. Did enough to feasibly win the game last week against Kansas City, who, by the way, looks like they're about to win again. I'm sure there was some call late in the game out there in L.A. that went their way. They're up 17-10. With about a minute 20 left out there in Los Angeles. So, they're already doing victory formation. So I wonder, all the conspiracy theorists online tomorrow, what were the calls that went in the Chiefs' favor to make sure that they actually get the mandated victory? It's all rigged, people. It's all a lie. That's what it is. My professional life has been a lie. I've been hoodwinked the whole time by this vast conspiracy to rig games. So there you go. But I did like what Kirk Cousins, he's very aware. He knows. I like the way he articulated the notion. I have to find those windows to Drake, and he's got to make those catches. You're still cleaning things up. This offense hasn't peaked. I know we're all disappointed. You see the drive-killing penalties. Jake Matthews with a holding call, which nullified the Bijan Robinson 17-yard touchdown reception. Probably shouldn't have been called, and it was way behind, actually, where Bijan Robinson had the ball. Matthew Bergeron, he had a big face mask penalty in the first quarter. I think that was a Falcons' first drive before they got that special teams touchdown. And that nullified a big catch on first down, a big gain. That set up a second and 25, and that killed the drive. So that's something that seems to persist with this Falcons team. Penalties in the worst possible moment that just napalm potential game-winning drives. But today they were able to get it done. Thankfully, Taysom Hill, he had two touchdowns. He probably could have helped the Saints steal the game in the second half. Left with an injury. You never want to see anybody hurt, but I cannot say that I was unhappy to see him done for the day. But, yeah, the interception by Kirk Cousins, that was intended for Ray McCloud. He did slip and fall in that particular play. And that play was Kirk Cousins throwing to a spot, not to a receiver. And he clearly did not see Ray McCloud slip and fall. Threw it to that spot. I don't think he had enough time to adjust and just kind of tuck the ball and figure out something else to do or throw it out of bounds and live for another play. Got the interception. Saints turn it into 7 points. But all that matters, Falcons get the victory. All right, we're going to come back and wrap things up with a special flashback, a Falcons flashback. This great legendary running back had his final carry against the Atlanta Falcons. And it was kind of just very pathetic and sad considering the stature of this iconic NFL running back. That's coming up next on the Falcons Flyover. Hanging out the nest on four, Signia at the Hilton right next to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
That's it. Game over.
Falcons Flyover is on. Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back on this winning Sunday, 26-24 Falcons. Beat the hated New Orleans Saints to prove the 2-2. Saints dropped the 2-2. And the Saints look like a juggernaut coming out the gate, winning their first game, routing Dallas. And they went in bullied, humiliated, and stole the wives and girlfriends from the Dallas Cowboys in week two. Humbled by the Eagles last week, only scoring 12 points, and the Falcons humbled them today. And as for Tampa Bay, did you see the back and forth between Baker Mayfield and Tom Brady? Of course, just a little cyber beef. Baker Mayfield said on a podcast, I think, quote, the building was a little bit different with Tom Brady in there. Obviously, playing wise, Tom is. So I think everybody was pretty stressed out. They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to guys who weren't having as much fun. Tom Brady retorted with that. Oh, I thought stress.
Raheem, you talk about team wins. You talk about a group of three phases of the game coming together and believing and winning. Boy, I don't know if you can find one that's got a better definition than that.
I tell you what, it was more than just three today. That crew out there, the fan base, the way that place was rocking, that was definitely a part of it, and they definitely the fourth phase today. And I couldn't be more thankful for those guys coming out and showing that kind of support. And the team, man, they put it all together. They relied on each other. They played complimentary football. What a day. What a day.
Tell me about entities that you don't expect to score in. You want to. You play hard. If you're in position, you make the play. Kadarius Hodge ends up with the recovery on the punt team. The coverage. Talk about that unit.
You know, Marquise, you know, you say it's an entity that you don't expect to score in, but that's one of his main goals. That's what he wants to do, mean but clean. And those guys went out there, and they were exemplary tonight. All right, to the last whistle, right to we ended it with Koo. They scored a couple points today for us, and you need that. You need that. When you're struggling a little bit on offense or you're struggling a little bit on defense, you need somebody to pick you up, and special teams did.
I know they got a little bit of footing in the run game, and I know you're going to continue to work on that, but Troy Anderson was a monster today. Had one of his best games as an NFL player. 16 tackles, had the interception turn for a touchdown.
Absolutely outstanding. Down the stretch is what's most important, and those guys bowed up when it counted the most at the end, and they were able to go some critical stops for us. They got too much rushing yards in the first half, but, man, they put it behind them. They came out. They bowed out. We got a couple major stops there, and we were doing well.
You talk about bowing up now. That offensive line really bowed up in the second half. Bijan ran the ball extremely well. But when Tyler Allgeier came in the game, it was like a different tempo you guys are playing with.
You know, he's the fat back that we call him, and he was able to go out there and get us some yards, man. He runs the ball hard as you can run, and he was the hot guy today, and he got out there and got it done for us.
All right, what do you say about your guy, Younghoe Koo? Did you have a number in mind as to where the ball needed to get to for him to be able to knock it through?
It didn't matter. We were going to end it with Koo. No matter where we were, It didn't matter. And Koo went out there and delivered just like I thought he would. That thing was good for a lot further than what he kicked it for the 56.
All right, last thing for you, Raheem. A quick turnaround. Now you got another divisional opponent coming in here in just a few days. How big one was this, and how much do you have to quickly flush it out of your mind?
You know, you quickly go through the process, the same thing as every week. You know, wins, losses, whatever the case may be. You got to put it back on the shelf and go right into the lab and get ready for a tough Tampa team coming in.
Thank you, man.
All right, man.